Encourage us now, challenge us now, speak to us according to our various needs, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, there are some people who know very, very little about the Bible. There are some who know a lot more. Some people own many Bibles, other people own none. But nearly everyone has heard of the most famous verse in the Bible. If you go to a soccer World Cup, you will see that verse there. If you go to the Olympics, you will see it there. I take it you will see it at the Commonwealth Games later this year. At all such events, you will see a banner in the crowd with the words from John 3:16 written on it. And this verse goes like this in the NIV version. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This is the most famous verse in the Bible. And Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus is the background to this verse, where Jesus said repeatedly, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a person be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven." Utterly befuddled, Nicodemus asked, "How can these things be?" Jesus didn't try to explain new birth any further, but he continued the discussion by saying in verses 14 and 15, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Which then brings us to the most famous sentence in the English language. Well, what is this verse about? Firstly, it is about loving. Now, much has been said in our world about love. Love is all you need, said the Beatles. Love makes the world go round. Love the one you're with, Crosby, Stills and Nash. Make love, not war, the Woodstock generation. But what does this famous verse tell us about love? It says that God is the one who is loving. Some think of God as angry. Others think of him as someone who doesn't care. Others think of him as someone who can't be found. But this verse tells us that God loves. And who is it that God loves? We are told that God loves the world. The world that he loves is every country, every race, every language group. God loves the whole world, whether we be rich or poor, whether we be young or old, whether we be Korean or Australian, whether we be male or female. God loves us all. And that is truly remarkable. What is the extent of God's love? The answer comes in the little word, so. He so loved the world. In sending his Son into the world, there was a sacrifice on the part of God long before the sacrifice that took place on that first Easter. Yes, God so loved, but what of the object of his love? It is a world that is rotten to its core. The world that he loves is so bad. The Bible tells us that we all have turned away from God. We all have lived our lives as if we are God and not him. We all have gone our own way. We do not deserve to be loved. Who do we love? Well, usually those who love us. Those that we find lovable. But we are not lovable. The Bible says that we are enemies of God. When two countries are at war, they do not love one another. But while we were God's enemies, he loved us. And this is an amazing love. So this, friends, is the first point, that the most famous verse in the Bible is about loving, about God loving. It is about God loving an unlovable, rebellious world. The second point is that this famous verse is about giving. We all like to give gifts. And we like it even more to receive gifts. when I was in Japan some years ago now, people that I'd never met stopped us in the street and gave us gifts. Because we were Western and because we had blonde children. I wonder what is the most expensive gift that you've ever been given? Or the most expensive gift that you've ever given anybody? Well, this famous verse in the Bible tells us that God has given a special gift. It is a most precious gift. It is the gift of his one and only Son. He only had one son. He did not have another to keep for himself. But he gave up his one and only son. And who did he give it to? To the world that didn't deserve it. He gave his son to you. He gave his son to me. God gave us the very best gift that could ever be given. Not only did he do that, but he doesn't expect anything in return. Often when we give gifts, we expect something in return, or at least we hope we'll get something in return. We give someone a gift and we hope they'll give us one. Or someone gives us a gift and we think, oh no, we now have to give them something. And they gave it to me on Christmas Eve and I don't have time to go and get them another one. I'll get them one. And we get all caught up in the reciprocity. But what about God? He gives up his one and only son. And what does he expect in return? Well, at one level, nothing. In fact, it is a gift so great that no gift could be given in return. This famous verse is about loving, about God loving the world. This famous verse is about giving, about God giving his one and only son. And thirdly, this verse is about believing. God gave us the gift of his son, but like any gift, the gift has to be received. That is what he wants us to do. He wants us to accept the gift. God gave us his son by sending him to earth. He gave us his son by him going to the cross and dying in our place. What should we do in response? We should believe that Jesus came into the world for us. We should believe that he died on the cross for us. This is not believing in a philosophy. This is not even believing in a religion. No, this is believing in a person. The truth is a person. A real person who came into the world at a point in history and who died a real death for us. To believe in Jesus doesn't just mean believe that he existed. To believe in Jesus doesn't just mean to believe that he died. To believe in Jesus doesn't just mean to believe that he came back from the dead, although all those things, of course, are true. To believe in Jesus means to put your trust in him and to follow him, no matter where it might take you. This famous verse is about loving, about God loving the world. This famous verse is about giving, about God giving us his son. And this famous verse is about believing in Jesus. And fourthly, this famous verse is about eternal life. God says the world is condemned. We all have sinned and turned away from him, so we all deserve God's punishment. We all deserve God's condemnation. We all deserve to be separated from God forever. What hope does this world have? We have seen terrible destruction in the world over the years. And you might think of the horror of such things as going to the peace park at Hiroshima. And when we were there, we stood looking at the A-bomb dome, the only building that was left standing after the dropping of the bomb. And since then, the leaders of Japan have argued for peace and no more war. It's part of their constitution. They can see the horror of destruction that we can commit against one another. We can see the horror of a 9/11 attack. We can even see the horror in rage against one another on roads. But friends, such horrors are very small compared to the judgment that God will bring against the world. He will destroy those who do not believe in him. He will punish those with everlasting punishment, those who do not turn to him. He will bring about his justice, and it will be a fearful thing. If this is true, where then is there hope for our world? Hope is only to be found in the one who loved the world so much. The promise is that for all those who believe in Jesus, that they will not perish, that they will not lose their life, that they will not be doomed to destruction. No, they will have eternal life. And this offer is extensive. A previous Archbishop of Sydney, Marcus Sloane, writes, "Whoever is the wide word that the text employs. It will serve the whole world. It is though the God of all the earth were to open his arms in a supreme gesture of invitation and welcome. He will receive the best and worst alike on the same terms if they only believe. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." Yes, friends, this verse is about loving, about God loving the world. It's about giving, about God giving us his Son. It's about believing in Jesus. And it's about eternal life, which is promised to all those who believe. But lastly and most importantly, this verse is about you. And this verse is about me. We belong to the world that God loves. We belong to those that God has given up his Son for. We belong to those that God longs that they believe in his Son. And we belong to those that God longs to give the gift of eternal life. Friends, God has done an incredible thing. He has given us his Son and the offer of eternal life. And we gather later to hear and receive reports on the life of the parish. And as we do that, it is this verse, it is the gospel that must forever drive us, must forever motivate us, must forever humble us. For John 3:16 must be central and foundational to all that we do. For these words were not just meant for Nicodemus. They were not meant only for the disciples. They were not meant just for the first Christian century. They were meant for the whole wide world, in every age, in every time. They are valid for all men and women in every country, in every generation, and their significance will remain unchanged down to the end of time. A fellow by the name of Adoniram Judson landed at Rangoon in 1813 to begin work as a missionary in Burma, as it was then known. After more than 30 years of almost incredible hardship, in 1845, he returned to America for his one and only furlough, home leave. And he was invited to preach in a little country church in Eton. People came from near and far, and the church was packed to see this missionary from Burma, the wilds of Burma in those days. And he spoke with deep feeling about the love of Christ, what he had done for us, and what we owe to him. But he only spoke for 15 minutes, and then he sat down. On the way home, he was told that the people were disappointed. And Judson wondered what they could have wanted when he had been preaching on the greatest subject of all. He was told that they were hoping for a story. But had he not told them the most moving story that one could tell? But they had heard it all before. They thought that they would hear something fresh from a man who had just come from the jungles of Burma. And then, said Judson, he was glad to say that a man from the jungles of Burma had no more thrilling story that he could tell than the story of a love that never fails. Friends, we have no more thrilling story than this. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. May we keep believing, and may we keep proclaiming it. And if we do so, that shall be enough. Amen. Going to have a time of prayer, and Tim's going to lead us.